happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA, your weekly hour of LGBTQ news. I'm Andy Hunt.
I'm Ann Northrup, straight from our homes.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Well, a sad week. I mean, we are mourning the deaths, but also celebrating the lives of John Lewis, a real hero, and his colleague, C.T. Vivian, in the Civil Rights Movement, as well as Vicki Gibbs of MCC Houston, a justice champion who died of the coronavirus, and somebody who was one of the founders of the Gay Cable Network.
Really? Oh, that's the other person, yes. I was going to say Vicki Gibbs was a founder. No.
Well, she was a 40-year-old woman, yes.
Yeah, that was a list. And in other depressing news, Trump's Department of Housing and Urban Development is issuing guidelines on how to spot trans women trying to use women's shelters so the shelter owners can kick them out.
It is grotesque. You know, we were encouraged to read that the Defense Department was finally going to ban Confederate flags on military bases. Well, they did it in such a way that they're also banning the rainbow flag.
Maybe we can do something about that one at least. And our Secretary of State, as we run through the list of federal departments, Mike Pompeo has redefined human rights to exclude LGBT rights, but to elevate property rights.
In California, a 22-year-old trans woman was murdered in a town called Brawley.
And the biologist who helped establish HIV as the cause of AIDS and revealed its inner workings, which set the stage for treatments, has died at 73.
And we're going to give you Chris Cooper's review of The Old Guard on Netflix, starring Charlize Theron, but featuring a gay male couple. So, John Lewis.
What a guy. I mean, everyone has talked about him as the conscience of the house, but it seems so much bigger to me than that, that he was really the guiding star, that he's one of those people who you look to for guidance on how to think and how to act.
He really was dedicated to nonviolence and to reaching out to everybody. I mean, there are all these Republicans coming up and say, he's the first guy who came up to me after I gave my first speech and took me aside and talked to me. I mean, he had that way with people as well.
He did. And that sort of was also true of the way he spoke, because he was very forthright in his very radical views, or his urgent views about justice and freedom. But he did it in a way that was palatable to those listening to him.
And of course, he was 80 years old, and his activism went back to the 1950s. And he was one of the founders of and the head of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee when he was a kid, basically. And, of course, a protege of Dr. Martin Luther King. I learned
wrote Dr. King a letter or a series of letters. And I think it may have been one letter about his views and wanting to do this social justice work. And King was so impressed by the letter that he invited him. He sent him a bus ticket to get from Alabama to Georgia, I guess, if that's where King was at the moment, or maybe it was all in Alabama. But he sent John Lewis a bus ticket, very young man, and enlisted him in the fight.
And of course, John Lewis and SNCC, led the fight to integrate buses, the Freedom Rides, into the South at tremendous peril. I mean, a gang of 300 white racists descending on a bus with clubs and insults and violence and just awful stuff that they put up with. I mean, I read even that Thurgood Marshall, who was an earlier activist and a legal activist, said, you know, take it easy, John. You know, I mean, no, I don't think you should do that. I mean, it's a little bit too much. I mean, but he was confrontational in that way. He felt we had to do that, or they had to do that.
Yes, and that's what I was trying to articulate earlier. He was absolutely confrontational against injustice, but in a nonviolent way. But the speech they keep replaying from the 63 March on Washington, where he says, we want our freedom and we want it now, and we don't want it gradually, and we don't want to wait, and we're not going to be patient now.
Right. And all week, people have been seeing pictures of him at the March on Washington. And the guy in the background is Bayard Rustin, who was the inspiration for a lot of the nonviolence in the movement, or the mentor to King and to John Lewis. So you see him there. We have a later picture of the two of them together. Bayard died in 1987, about the age of 75. So there they were. But, you know, I learned a lot about John this week that I really hadn't focused on. He met Malcolm X about the week before he died, and talked to him in 1964.
A week before Malcolm X died.
Yes, Malcolm X died in 1964, was assassinated. He also worked after Selma, which is where he was beaten, and we've all seen that on television. He went to work for a foundation in New York for a while. He was at Riverside Church for Martin Luther King's speech in New York, which was against the Vietnam War. And John was pretty much totally anti-war. He said one of the votes he regretted was not voting against the Afghan War. Only one person did in the Congress. And he was also, he worked in the Bobby Kennedy campaign in 1968. And he was there. He learned about Dr. King dying when Bobby Kennedy gave that speech there, announcing it to a crowd. And he was with Bobby Kennedy when he was assassinated in Los Angeles. So, I mean, wow, what a witness to history. And of course, you know, they've been talking about him, you know, he was elected to Congress, you know, 33 years ago. He beat Julian Bond, one of the other icons of the civil rights movement. And that was something. But he was also probably the most passionate advocate for LGBT rights, bar none, in the Congress.
Yes, absolutely. We have a picture of him there giving a speech endorsing the Equality Act and trying to get that passed. It was passed in the House and sits in the Senate untouched. I really worry about who's going to pick up his mantle, who's going to be as such a luminary for justice and for the right values. The squad, to some extent, but they have some living to do before they attain that.
He wasn't a class by himself, but, you know, we put up the picture of him where he talks about causing good trouble. You know, don't put him on a pedestal. He wants you to be like him. He wants you to do what he did. That's the tribute to him. Of course, the other tribute to him would be passing the Voting Rights Act, restoration. In the Congress.
They're talking about that. And I really want to emphasize his activism he was an activist in Congress too, but I think too many people, because he was there a long time, think of him as a congressman. And even though we're seeing a lot of this old footage now, I think it's so important to emphasize where he came from and how unlikely it was that someone who was as an urgent an activist would end up in Congress like that.
Well, he was inspired by Bobby Kennedy in that. And when Bobby was killed, I think he felt that he was going to move on to that stage of his life. We should run. We had very few friends when the Defense of Marriage Act was proposed in 1996. That thing passed 5-1 in the Congress. So a lot of liberals I could name, like Chuck Schumer and Paul Wellstone, who voted for the Defense of Marriage Act. Almost everybody did. But John Lewis got into the well of the House and gave this speech that we're going to show you now, which is just inspirational.
How long does the gentleman yield?
3 minutes.
Gentleman from Georgia is recognized for 3 minutes. At least.
I want to thank my friend and colleague for yielding. Let me say to the gentleman that when I was growing up in the South during the 40s and the 50s, the great majority of the people in that region believed that black people shouldn't be able to enter places of public accommodation. And they felt that black people shouldn't be able to register to vote. And many people felt that was right, but that was wrong. I think as politicians, as elected officials, we should not only follow, but we must lead our districts, not put our fingers into the wind to see which way the air is blowing, but be leaders. Mr. Speaker, this is a mean bill. It is cruel. This bill seeks to divide our nation, turn Americans against Americans, sow the seeds of fear, hatred, and intolerance. Let us remember the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths self-evident, that all people are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This bill is a slap in the face of the Declaration of Independence. It denies gay men and women the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Marriage is a basic human right. You cannot tell people they cannot fall in love. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used to say, when people talked about interracial marriages, and I quote, "Races do not fall in love and get married. Individuals fall in love and get married. Why don't you want your fellow men and women, your fellow Americans, to be happy? Why do you attack them? Why do you want to destroy the love they hold in their hearts? Why do you want to crush their hopes, their dreams, their longings, their aspiration? We are talking about human beings, people like you, people who want to get married, buy a house, and spend their lives with the one they love. They have done no wrong. I will not turn my back on another American. I will not oppress my fellow human being. I fought too hard and too long against discrimination based on race and color to stand up against discrimination based on sexual orientation. I've known racism. I've known bigotry. This bill stinks to the same fear, hatred, and intolerance. It should not be called the Defense of Marriage Act. It should be called the Defense of Mean Spirit Bigots Act. I urge my colleagues to oppose this bill, to have the courage to do what is right.
Gentleman is yielded an additional minute.
This bill appeals to our worst fears and emotion. It encourages hatred of our fellow Americans for political advantage. Every word, every purpose, every message is wrong. It is not the right thing to do to divide Americans. We're moving toward the 21st century. Let us come together and create one nation, one people, one family, one house. The American house, the American family, the American nation.
'96.
You cannot tell people they cannot fall in love. If only he knew what this century had in store at that time.
Well, yes, but I think there were only, 17 senators who voted against that bill?
It was 5-1 in both houses.
It was definitely fewer than 20 in the Senate, right. And lots of Democrats voted for it, and it was shameful that they did.
It was such a beautiful speech. I'm happy to hear it again. It makes me verklempt. I wonder if, I would love to go back and talk to people and say, did he change your vote on that? Did he possibly move you on that?
I don't think speeches in Congress change.
That's a pretty great speech.
Well, of course it's a great speech, but people were much more focused on their own reelection chances. They thought voting against the bill would hurt them politically, and they all voted for it.
And President Clinton signed it, and Hillary Clinton supported that. I mean, that's where we were in those days. And you know what? It was all in response in those days to it looked like Hawaii might legalize same-sex marriage, and they were not going to let that stand. I mean, they were going to let Hawaii do it if they did it, but they were going to allow every other state to say, we don't recognize those marriages, and the federal government does not recognize it. And it took court decisions in 2011 and 2013 to overturn that.
Shame, shame on them to have voted for that.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you to John Lewis for remaining true to his values and principles, which is all too rare a quality.
And one of his great colleagues, who died at the age of 95 this week, was C.T. Vivian, who was Dr. King's field general, another disciple of nonviolence. We're going to show you a very famous clip that you, if you've ever watched films about the civil rights movement, you've seen. But this is C.T. Vivian in action in Selma, Alabama, just trying to get the right to vote in 1965, I believe it is. He was also nearly killed in St. Augustine, Florida, trying to desegregate the beaches by swimming in the ocean. White people didn't want to be in the same water with black people. Gangs of whites beat them up. This confrontation is rather famous, and it's framed. We're going to show it to you now.
Him and Sheriff Jim Clark in Selma, Alabama.
And we want you to know, gentlemen, that every one of you, see, we know your badge numbers, we know your name.
In mid-February, Reverend C.T. Vivian, an SCLC organizer, confronted Sheriff Clark and his deputies on the courthouse steps.
But believe me, there were those that followed Hitler, like you blindly follow this Sheriff Clark, who didn't think their day would come. But they also were pulled into the courtrooms, and they were also given their death sentences. You are not this bad a racist, but you're a racist in the same way that Hitler was a racist. And you're blindly following a man that's leading you down a road that's going to bring you into federal court. Now, I am representing people in Dallas County, and I have that right to do so. Now, and as I represent them, and they can speak for themselves, is what I'm saying true?
Yes.
Is it what you think and what you believe?
Yes.
Boy, this is not a local problem, gentlemen. This is a national problem. You can't keep anyone in the United States from voting without hurting the rights of all other citizens. Democracy's built on this. This is why every man has the right to vote, regardless.
And he started shouting at me that I was a Hitler, I was a brute, that I was a Nazi. I don't remember everything he called me. And I did lose my temper then.
And we have come to be here because they are registering at this time.
Well, turn that
and so
light
we
out.
Have come here.
You're trying to find me and I can't enforce the law of the light, my face.
We have come to register. And this is our reason for being here. We're not
you're binding me with that light.
We're not
moving. Move back.
I don't remember even hitting him, but I went to the doctor and got an X-ray and found out I had a linear fracture and a finger on my left hand.
With Jim Clark, it was a clear engagement between the forces of movement and the forces of the structure that would destroy movement. It was a clear engagement between those who wished the fullness of their personalities to be met and those that would destroy us physically and psychologically. You do not walk away from that. This is what movement meant. Movement meant that finally we were encountering on a mass scale, the evil that had been destroying us on a mass scale. You do not walk away from that. You continue to answer it.
If we're wrong, why don't you arrest us?
Why don't you get out in front of the camera and go on?
It's not a matter of being in front of the camera. It's a matter of facing your sheriff and facing your judge. We're willing to be beaten for democracy. And you misuse democracy in the street. You beat people bloody in order that they will not have the privilege to vote. You beat me in the side and then hide your blows. I don't need to leave. We have come to register to vote.
I'm here to tell you tonight that the businessmen, the mayor of this city, the police commissioner of this city, and everybody in the white power structure of this city must take a responsibility for everything that Jim Clark does in this community.
Well, if you weren't inspired to vote before, I hope you are now, because people put their lives on the line there. You can see it. Wow.
And people are putting their lives on the line now, too. All of this could have been a soundtrack for the protests we've seen in the last few months. And I think it's important that we remember that there is a long, long history, an eternal history of protest in this country. We've had to fight all the time for everything, and the fights will continue. And we cannot afford to be complacent and sit on the sidelines.
Well, someone who was not complacent and not on the sidelines, and we lost her this week, was the Reverend Vicki Gibbs, 57 years old, the associate pastor of MCC in Houston, the Metropolitan Community Church. She died of coronavirus. Now, let me just go over this. Her last sermon tied together the deaths of Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, the refusal to wear masks, the minimum wage, slavery, the destruction of Native Americans, reparations, immigration, excessive executive pay, and the desire for power and money. That was on June the 7th in a virtual sermon. She's survived by her wife, Cassandra White. She's been a part of Resurrection MCC. She's only 57 years old, for 40 years. And she survived lupus, but not this.
She also insisted that it be a justice-oriented church, that it there were parishioners there. This is the, you know, LGBT-focused church in Houston, a part of a world national network, maybe worldwide network.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people there who just want to focus on religion. And she said, no, this is going to be an active, justice-oriented church. And she was involved in movements around all those issues that you listed.
It's a huge congregation. Of course, they can't meet in person right now, but it's huge, yeah.
Okay. So that's a big loss at age 57, Reverend Vicki Gibbs. We also lost an experimental filmmaker, Luther Price, and that is not his real name, and he never told us what his real name was, but he died at age 58 in Northeast Massachusetts, Revere, his home area. He became quite notorious as an experimental filmmaker, especially for a little 18-minute movie called Sodom, that combined footage from gay porn films, gay male porn films, and biblical epics. Now, I've watched this film, and you'd have a hard time finding the biblical epics in there. It's really just mostly the porn, with a soundtrack that is mostly sort of religious. But
we picked the name Luther Price in homage to Martin Luther King and Vincent Price, so he was quite a character.
Absolutely.
And then I just learned this week of the loss of Ed Nicholas. Ed was about my age. I don't have it exactly. He died back in April and down in Florida in Fort Lauderdale. He was one of the early forces behind the gay cable network of Lou Maletta that Ann and I got involved in. In fact, he recruited me in 1985, and I've been here ever since. So we have Ed Nicholas to thank for this. He was also a leader of something called Fair Pack. This is a group that raised money in the mid-'80s to fund council candidates who would finally help get the gay and lesbian rights bill passed, and he was a president of the Greater Gotham Business Council. One of his early partners was Diego Lopez, who founded the volunteer efforts at the gay men's health crisis, the Buddy System. So wonderful, wonderful guy. Died in a car accident.
I'm sorry to lose all these people, but I am inspired by their activism, by their energy and their persistence and their desire to do something to improve whatever field they're in.
Right. Okay, so shall we get to the news?
We can get to the Trump news, which is less inspiring, I think.
Well, you know, we told you about all the money that's gone to these religious organizations through a loophole set up by the Republicans, billions of dollars to right-wing religious groups. Paula White, who was the president's spiritual advisor, and she works in the White House, opened a call with the religious leaders with a prayer berating non-Christians as evil men. So this is anti-Semitic, it's anti-whatever. And she thanked Trump for bringing evangelicals into the White House and putting the merry back in Christmas. These churches have received $7.3 billion in our money. The American Family Association alone, $2 million. Horrible people. But the picture there is of Paula White and James Dobson, who was...
He was on the call.
I mean, they're setting it up so that they're going to be funding these people right through the Biden administration.
It's really, the whole thing turns out to be a boondoggle to fund their friends. They have no particular interest in funding individuals who need money or even small businesses that need money. Their bottom line here is that the vast majority of the money goes to their big corporate friends and their big religious friends.
Right. Trillions to bail out the stock market, trillions to bail out corporations. And what'd you get? $1,200? I mean, in other countries, they get
maybe, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, other people are getting, other countries, they're giving people income support until this is over.
Exactly. Which would have been cheaper, by the way, than a lot of what they're doing. Meanwhile, of course, one of Trump's current plans is no more money for testing or contact tracing.
Well, that's just insane. And we're not doing testing the right way. And it's not very helpful.
By the way, these phone calls with the religious organizations took place 2 weeks before the government came up with its rules for who would get money how. The White House.
And it was released by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They got a hold of the tape and they exposed it.
But the White House was on the phone with these religious, evangelical religious leaders 2 weeks ahead of telling anybody else about this money and was already pumping it out the door to them.
Well, they're much more open about how they want to keep transgender people from trans women from getting into women's homeless shelters.
Unbelievable.
Trump's Housing and Urban Development, they issued a memo to the shelters on how to spot a trans woman if you want to keep them out. Look for the Adam's apple. Maybe they're a little too tall. Maybe there's facial hair. Maybe there's not facial hair. This is in the memo. It is absolutely grotesque. The one thing that they tell you not to do is to check out the genitals. Thank goodness.
Well, this is all a part of their issuing rules that say that homeless shelters can discriminate against trans people. And so they're fleshing this out, so to speak, by explaining how you would affect this discrimination.
Right.
But Pompeo gets my vote for creep of the week. We told you last year he put together this commission on unalienable rights, whatever that is. Unalienable.
That's the phrase used in the Declaration of Independence that John Lewis was just quoting.
Okay, not inalienable rights, right. Unalienable rights. So the idea was that this commission was going to examine the U.S. position around the world on human rights and what we were doing and what we should be doing and shouldn't be doing and everything else. Well, of course, we knew exactly what it was going to say, and no surprise. Well, there was one little surprise. What it said was that we weren't emphasizing religious rights enough. That we really need to spend a lot more time around the world supporting religious rights. Now, I assume that's really Christian rights because Pompeo is an evangelical Christian. There was virtually no mention of sexual orientation in any of this, I don't think.
But find it.
The surprise out of left field was that they also supported property rights. as human rights.
These are our nation's founding principles.
Yep.
Religious rights and property rights.
Well, and property rights, of course, is slavery.
Yes. Well, not only that, in this grotesque speech, which had an invocation from anti-gay bigot Cardinal Dolan of New York.
Oh, yeah.
Pompeo condemned the 1619 project at the New York Times, which exposed what happened in the nation relative to slavery. And he said that provides a dark vision of America's birth. Well, hello. How do you think we got started? What do you think built most of the big buildings in those days, yeah, including the White House?
So then how is it that later in the week, Pompeo imposed sanctions on the leader of Chechnya, Ramzan Kadyrov, barring him from the United States for gross human rights abuses, torture, and killing.
I didn't see in that sanction that they actually mentioned gays. They talked about extrajudicial killings. It's of gay people. But that's...
They may have mentioned it maybe, one tiny bit or something. They mentioned political opponents, journalists, torture, killing, whatever. Is this something Putin wanted?
It must be.
That would be my
guess.
That's
where the orders come from.
But not only are they keeping the Chechenian leader out of the U.S., they're going to keep LGBTQ refugees out of the U.S. seeking asylum. They are cracking down. There are basically no refugees who are going to be allowed in, except, of course, I'm sure, religious refugees.
But the Defense Department did issue an order this week banning, essentially limiting what flags you can have on military bases, and that means a ban on the Confederate flag. Hooray. The only flags you can have are U.S. flags, state flags, the D.C. and territory flags, service flags, and the POWMIA flag. That's it. No rainbow flags. So the pro-gay Modern Military Association of America is protesting this exclusion of a symbol of diversity while you're excluding a symbol of hate.
Yes, objecting to the equivalence of the rainbow flag and the Confederate flag. But this was a device to be able to get rid of, to bar the Confederate flag on military bases without actually saying so explicitly. But the fallout is that the rainbow flag is also banned.
The president says it's free speech. The president is also trying to exclude counting undocumented people from the census, which is, of course, unconstitutional. The Constitution says got to count everybody who's in the country on April 1st. And we urge everybody to fill this out, no matter what your status is. Go to my2020census.gov.
Well, all this presupposes that we have a country to count and vote for. With the invasion of cities by now the Homeland Security mercenaries.
It's deeply frightening. Everybody who ever held the position of Homeland Security chief is speaking out against it. Everybody's speaking against it. I'm writing letters, getting that, but it's got to be stopped.
Well, I want to know why those troops, whoever they are not refusing this duty. That's what concerns me. If I were one of those people in some parallel universe or something, the first thing I'd be doing with an order like that is refusing it.
Well, they seem to be taking blithely to the task and overdoing it and grabbing people and hurting people.
Beating them and pepper spraying them, no matter what. This has been going on for months now, that everybody's out protesting police brutality, and the forces, police, military, whatever they are, respond with brutality.
Some of the attorneys general and others are saying, commit illegal acts, we will arrest them and prosecute them.
Well, they've gone to court in Portland already to try to stop this.
By suing, but now we're talking about they're committing illegal acts in the process of doing their work as if a police officer did that.
I understand, but we're getting to the point where anyone who's prosecuted will be pardoned by Trump. They will not.
Well, it would be, could be under state law, in which case Trump cannot pardon them.
He's defying all laws.
Yes.
And he's going to defy any court order to stop this. And he's going to exonerate everyone he can. And ultimately, the end game is the November election, because I think people assume that if he loses and refuses to leave and tries to, you know, play around with that system and claim all sorts of illegal voting or whatever, that the military will rescue us. They will throw him out of the White House. Well, they have shown no appetite for defying his...
And he is installing. He's not going through Congress to get people appointed to various military positions. He's just installing his lackeys in the Defense Department right now in major positions to do this. So, yes, be afraid. Be very afraid.
Well, this Homeland Secretary is...
Acting.
Well, he's acting pretty actively. And he's doing what Trump tells him to do. And he has no background for this job, no qualifications. He's just there as a puppet to carry out these orders from the White House.
And Cuccinelli, another acting, so who is a horror show.
You have Barr confirmed, and he's doing all of that, too.
And then there's the rollback on LGBT health protections. Democratic attorneys general are suing, led by Massachusetts, New York, and California. Many others join. Basically, blue state America plus purple North Carolina.
Update on a slightly less threatening thing. The news media is beginning slowly and quietly to discover that Mary Trump is a lesbian.
It didn't come up in the interview with Rachel, the big lesbian, which was disappointing, especially disappointing because Rachel quoted from the part of the book where they're talking about anti-Semitism and racism. It's on the same page, the homophobia. And yet Rachel left that out. I was very disappointed in you, Rachel. I know you watch the show every week, but you know, next time, come on.
Yeah, come on. Well, we're doing this on Wednesday. Some of you are seeing us live on Facebook or may see us online if the show is posted tonight or first thing tomorrow. So I'm going to alert those of you who can see it in a timely fashion that Mary Trump will be on The View tomorrow, Thursday. So perhaps they will do a better job of talking.
We better move along with the news.
Sure.
In California, a trans woman, Marilyn Monroe Cazares, 22, was found dead in Brawley, California, a homicide. Her family said she'd been stabbed and set on fire, and they say it had to have been a hate crime, but the police have not charged it that way yet. Her family said they would have, by the way, she lived on the street, but her family said, well, we would have welcomed her at home. She preferred living that way. Her sister said she was bullied a lot as a child and fought back as a child over what she was going through, and now she's gone.
Another woman of color, Latinx, not, most of the trans women murdered on the streets or wherever are black, but this is Marilyn Latinx. In Memphis, Tennessee, terrible story. A long-term firefighter in Memphis was shot dead in a park that was known as a gay cruising area. He was shot dead by a guy who was in a car, evidently with his girlfriend. And when I first read this, I thought maybe the girlfriend was fictitious and he had been involved with sex with the firefighter. But no, they've arrested him and the girlfriend. They claim that the firefighter was coming on to the guy in the car, and the guy in the car got uncomfortable and pulls out a gun and repeatedly shoots the firefighter dead. Now, some people might just put the car in reverse and back out of there, but no, he took a gun and shot him dead repeatedly.
If every woman who was hit on inappropriately fired back with a gun, there wouldn't be very many men. This firefighter's name was Mac Bond, 58, a beloved of the department. They don't ban the gay panic defense in Tennessee. So, Then did you see Andrew Gillum this week with his 11-minute speech? Yeah, he's the guy who narrowly lost for governor of Florida. I mean, basically, you know, he talks about what he's gone through. He was found with a gay escort who OD'd on crystal meth, and then he went into rehab. But he said, what I am and, my wife knows what I am and knows what I am not, and she chooses to love me anyhow. He acknowledges his alcoholism and the toll that his loss took on him, and that he was quite depressed after it.
I wouldn't call it a coming out.
No. I didn't say coming out. We'll link to it in our email. And by the way, we'll link to a longer the C.T. Vivian tape, and a longer version of that, and the John Lewis speech in our email. You just have to go to gayusatv.org, and you can sign up for our email.
In Towson, Maryland, the University of Maryland St. Joseph Medical Center is being sued by the ACLU because they refused a hysterectomy for a trans man.
Jesse Hammonds, yeah.
Because they bought the hospital from the Catholic Archdiocese, but as it does with schools and other facilities, the Archdiocese said, we'll only sell you this hospital if you adhere to Catholic principles in operating it. We've sold it to you. It's gone, but you have to, it's a covenant. You have to do this. So the hospital refused the hysterectomy at the orders of the Catholic Church. And now the ACLU is suing because they say the university is a government agency. They can't discriminate against a patient. Well,
James Essex from the ACLU is handling this case, and he said the government has no business running a religious hospital.
Exactly. You know, don't buy another hospital or refuse to sign the covenant. This is insane. Or challenge the covenant in court. That's crazy time.
The Catholic Church wants to extend its influence beyond its grave.
Exactly. Literally, the church calls giving a trans man a hysterectomy intrinsically immoral. And I thought at first, well, maybe they don't like hysterectomies. No, they're perfectly fine with hysterectomies for heterosexuals or cis people.
Matthew Paul Turner, best-selling evangelical author, announced he is divorcing his wife and coming out as gay. He's got three kids. His wife encouraged him to be himself. He will continue to write children's books.
Okay. In New York State, the New York State Assembly unanimously passed Assembly Member Danny O'Donnell, our pal and out gay assembly members, a bill to declare that all single stall bathrooms must be gender neutral. So that
everyone who wants to use the restroom and doesn't want to wait for one gender to, you know, et cetera, it's great. And yeah.
Ketchikan,
Alaska, the city council unanimously banned anti-LGBT discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations. The LGBT Victory Institute reports that there are now at least 843 out LGBTQ people in elective office, a 21% increase since 2019.
By the way, the Ketchikan city council vote was provoked by a local florist declaring they didn't want to provide flowers for a same-sex wedding. In Allegheny, Pennsylvania, the city council passed a non-discrimination law for sexual orientation and gender identity in healthcare.
In Taunton, Massachusetts, Tom Anderson and his husband put a rainbow flag in the front yard. A man stopped his car, got out, punched him in the face, and started shouting anti-gay slurs, knocking out two front teeth. Police are investigating, but the community is supporting him, and they're paying for a security system for the guys. And he's not taking that flag down.
Just an update from Pennsylvania, where Dr. Rachel Levine, a trans woman, is the Secretary of Health in the state. She and the governor, Tom Wolf, are being sued for shutting down the state for coronavirus. And she is being misgendered all over the place in the news coverage and getting vicious online comments. Terrible.
Well,
one of our viewers is fighting back online, but had his comments removed because Facebook just decided they'd remove everybody's comments.
Now, here's the case of sexual orientation discrimination that is being alleged by Jeremy Roenick.
Roenick.
He's at NBC Sports. He said he was fired for making a crude joke on another show about wanting to have a threesome with his wife and Catherine Tappan of NBC Sports. And in his suit, he says, Johnny Weir at the Olympics used a vulgar term for a woman's groin and joked about a sexual affair. But his boss said, Weir's gay and he can say whatever he wants. So that's his case. He says everybody should be treated the same. He sounds like a creep, but there it is. Same standard for everybody. That's what we want.
Yeah. After a complaint from someone, the YMCA nationally is upgrading its health insurance plans to cover trans care. I think it was a complaint in New York. That's good. LA Pride 2021 will leave West Hollywood. Too crowded, changing demographics of the city. I'm not sure what that means, but they want to work with allied populations. West Hollywood will create its own new event, so it'll expand in LA. The National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, that's not how they define those letters anymore. NGLTF is making its 2021 Creating Change Conference all online. And the Center for Political Accountability has issued a report about how, surprise, corporations who claim to support LGBT, environmental stuff, Black Lives Matters, are giving tons of money to right-wing politicians who fight against all those things. It's a nice rundown, though, of all the details.
We're down to our last 11 minutes. Shall we get to international news?
Sure.
Okay. In the United Kingdom, if it's any consolation, J.K. Rowling's book sales have gone way down since her transphobic tweets and her essay.
Also in the UK, Edward Enninful, the black out gay editor-in-chief of British Vogue, which he's been for the last two or three years, went to the office and was ordered by a security guard to enter the building through the loading dock. Yep. The security guard has been fired.
Also in the United Kingdom, the new chair of a race commission there, appointed by the government over all this, you know, international upset about race, finally. But his name is Tony Sewell, and he not only questions institutional racism, but he went off on gay people 30 years ago, admittedly. And he says, oh, I'm sorry about that. And, you know, he really wrote some vile things. But Peter Tatchell, called for an apology, which Sewell gave. But Peter's more concerned about his views on race.
In Russia, there are now rumors of an organization called Knife International threatening to assassinate European LGBT leaders. They're already taking credit for a killing last year of Russian activist Yelena Grigorieva, which we've talked about here.
In Turkey, they were shooting a new series called If Only there. But the locals in Turkey objected to the inclusion of a gay character, and the government withdrew the permission to shoot. So Netflix just shut it down and abandoned the project rather than change the story.
In Mexico, a couple of stories. First of all, we thought last week that Baja California was going to pass a legalization of same-sex marriage, but the vote failed with too many abstentions. They may try again. Technically, marriage is legal there, but it takes you a couple of years to make it happen. This would normalize it and make it easier.
Well, the president of the Supreme Court there slammed the recalcitrant state legislatures there. There are about 13 of them that won't get with the program here. So it's about half and half down there. And you can get married anywhere, but you got to get a court injunction, and that's expensive.
And lengthy. But better news from Mexico. A lesbian couple separated. They had a child. The court awarded custody of the daughter to the non-biological mother. She already has two other kids, and the court wanted to keep the kids together. So it was really a decision in favor of the best interests of the child and without being wedded to the biological connection. And President Duda's reelection in Poland is being challenged, but people are not very optimistic about overturning it. But courts in Poland have annulled a couple of the LGBT-free zones, calling them unconstitutional discrimination. That is a good piece of news.
In Thailand, there's now a lot of progressive opposition to the civil partnership bill because it's not marriage. So I don't know if they're going to, there's a lot of division over there about this. In Russia, Madonna said that Russia fined her $1 million for a gay rights speech, and she says, I didn't pay.
Yeah. All right. AIDS news. We're very sorry to hear about the death of Flossie Wong Stahl at 73. She was a molecular biologist, and she was involved in the early days of discovering and examining the HIV virus. Now, interestingly enough, she was working with Dr. Robert Gallo when he was in the midst of his huge fight over whether he or Luc Montagnier in Paris had actually discovered HIV. Gallo was believed to have sort of lifted the virus from Montagnier.
She had a romantic relationship with him as well.
Exactly. And he and Gallo fathered her second child. But she managed to maintain her dignity and reputation. And what she did was clone the virus and analyze the genetic content. And what that did was identify targets for drugs. So when you hear about protease inhibitors, for instance, protease is part of the HIV virus. And drugs were created to target, to inhibit protease replication. And that's one way that the drugs work to stop HIV. This same kind of analysis is being used on coronavirus, and she was involved with that kind of work at her death.
She was the most cited scientist in the literature of the 1980s, Flossie Wong Stahl. By the way, she was born in China. Her name was Yiqing Wang, and her teacher said she needed a Western name, and Flossie was picked after a recent hurricane.
Yeah, she didn't want, like, Jessica. She wanted something more exotic, so her father found that, I think. And in South Daytona, Florida, Julio Rivera, 41 years old, HIV positive, has been charged with intentional or criminal transmission of HIV, or an attempt to transmit it, because he was being arrested and he spit at paramedics and firefighters. But you can't transmit it through saliva. This prosecution is totally bogus.
Especially when you spit on somebody's arm.
Exactly.
Okay, tell us about Denise Ho.
Denise Ho is a big pop star singer in Hong Kong, from Hong Kong. And there's a new documentary about her that is available online called Denise Ho, Becoming the Song. And I watched it, and it's tremendously inspirational, because she went from being a pop star to coming out as a lesbian and getting involved in the Hong Kong protests, democracy protests. So there's a ton of stuff about the democracy protests in Hong Kong and about her personal transformation into an activist and a revolutionary. And there's a lot of material like this that is available online now. Instead of going to movie theaters, people are getting these movies online. This particular one is available from Kino Lober at kinomarquee.com. There's another one on their service, a new one, Helmut Newton, The Bad and the Beautiful. Talk about bad and beautiful. Helmut Newton, the famous photographer. There's a lot of LGBT content at places like that. But I want to particularly point out the Denise Ho documentary, because it's really good and really interesting.
So the new hit on Netflix is a movie called The Old Guard, starring Charlize Theron. It's breaking records. Female director Gina Prince Blythewood, about immortal mercenaries on a revenge mission. We asked our sacrificial moviegoer to watch it, Chris Cooper. And we'll give you the full review online, but he says it's an action flick based on a comic book, but flows nicely. He says it is unusual for an action movie to make two of its most prominent characters, one, gay, two, gay men, three, gay men who are lovers, four, gay men who are lovers, and that fact is unequivocally demonstrated on screen. And he also says there's a whiff of lesbianism. So here's a clip of the gay characters in The Old Guard.
Niccolo.
Quiet.
Niccolo d'estati.
I said.
I know what you said. What are you going to do, kill me?
Niccolo d'estati. D'estati.
Sono qui. Sono qui. Ovunque qui sia.
Un blindato. Hanno usato del gas.
I told you. Shut up.
I need to know he's okay.
That's sweet. What is he, your boyfriend?
You're a child. An infant. Your mocking is thus infantile. He's not my boyfriend. This man is more to me than you can dream. He's the moon when I'm lost in darkness, and warmth when I shiver in cold, and his kiss still thrills me even after a millennium. His heart overflows with a kindness of which this world is not worthy of. I love this man beyond measure and reason. He's not my boyfriend. He's all and he's more.
Incurable romantic.
On them. Did we mention that Billy Eichner is making a biopic of Paul Lynde?
Oh, that's great. And they're doing it. They're also doing a people who do Pose are doing a series on Barbara Giddings and Frank Gamini.
Whoa.
Their fight to overturn the gay as a mental illness back in the early 70s.
And Niall DeMarco, who is well known for winning America's Next Top Model 5 years ago and then Dancing with the Stars 4 years ago, is going to do a scripted sitcom for Spectrum Originals. He is deaf, sexually fluid, and is quite the up-and-coming star.
And congratulations to the writer of After Forever, the digital series, Michael Slade, won for Emmy for Outstanding Writing for the second year in a row. And Scarlett Johansson, who had been cast as Dante Tex Gill, a trans man, and then didn't do the role because she's not a trans man. This is about somebody who ran massage parlors in Pittsburgh in the 70s. They are going to cast a trans man in the role.
Hallelujah.
We're going to do it.
I think we have filled up our allotted 58 minutes with a ton of news this week.
A lot more stories than you hear from Rachel.
And a lot more explicit.
Yes.
We got any time?
No, 2 seconds.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for being with us.